Welcome to the Cancer Discovery Podcast. I'm your host, Elizabeth McKenna. Germline mutations in the tumor suppressor gene, breast cancer 1 early onset, known as BRCA1, confer an increased risk of breast and ovarian cancer. It remains unclear whether loss of the remaining wild-type BRCA1 allele is a necessary step for tumor initiation, or if haploinsufficiency renders BRCA1 loss of heterozygosity, known as LOH, unnecessary for tumor formation. Additionally, loss of other tumor suppressors such as P10 and P53 may also contribute to the initiation of tumors with germline BRCA1 mutations. I'm joined now by Dr. Cornelia Polyak, whose study in this issue of Cancer Discovery evaluated the order of BRCA1 LOH, P10 loss, and P53 mutation in BRCA1-associated breast cancers in order to better understand the evolution of these tumors. Thank you for joining us, Dr. Polyak.
Thank you.
Why is it important to understand the order of genetic events in tumors?
This is important both from a biology point of view to better understand the functions of genes in tumorigenesis in terms of, you know, understanding their relationship to each other and which tumor progression stage they may be particularly important, which is obviously also has very important clinical relevance, such as particularly for prevention. You know, like we want to target early events that are involved in initiation for the prevention studies, and also for even the treatment of advanced stage tumors. It's good to know what particular change may be more important in the later stage tumors, because that could reflect the different dependency of the tumor cells for that particular alteration.
Can you please explain your approach?
The approach we took is wanted to understand the relative order of events of BRCA1 loss, P10 loss, and P53 mutations. So what we did is we took BRCA1 tumors from BRCA1 mutation carriers, and we assessed the status of each one of these genes, either at the combined protein and DNA level in single cells, and then we counted the cells in the tumor that have single change, a double change or triple change for each of these markers, and then using a combination of mathematical and statistical models, we predicted the probable order of events, you know, for these three changes in the tumors based on the frequency of the cells that have single change, double change, or triple change.
What was surprising about your findings?
One of the first surprises was that it looked like that BRCA1 LOH may not be the first event in most of the tumors. And then the other surprising finding was that it's not only that the BRCA1 LOH was not predicted to be the first event in most of the tumors, but it also was not homogeneous in the tumors, meaning like not 100% of the tumor cells seem to have this loss, which obviously has implications for treatment.
How do your findings explain the increased risk for breast cancer in women with germline BRCA1 mutations?
What we found after we saw that BRCA1 LOH may not be the first event, then we started examining the normal breast of BRCA1 mutation carriers to see if there is something different that could explain why they may have then increased risk and increased risk of initiation. What we assessed is we looked at the proliferation status by looking at a marker KR67, and we found that the BRCA1 mutation carriers, the normal breast of BRCA1 mutation carriers, seem to have increased proliferation, which is consistent with prior findings, and our own lab also have findings that they have more progenitor cells because those are more likely to proliferate. And this is potentially driven by hormones, because we see increased number of progesterone receptor positive cells, and progesterone together with estrogens are very potent mitogen for the breast epithelial cells.
Was there anything else different about the normal epithelium of BRCA1 germline mutation carriers?
When we were looking at these proliferating cells, what we found that occasionally we detected multipolar mitosis in these in the BRCA1 mutation carriers, not in a control. Like instead of the two pores in a mitosis, several of the cells had like three. Then this led us to examine the centromeres, because centromeres are responsible for, you know, ordering the chromosomes properly in mitosis. And we actually found that significantly higher number of cells in a BRCA1 mutation carriers have more than two centromeres. This would lead to increased genomic instability because, you know, every time the cell divides, they may have a chance of losing or gaining chromosomes because of the increased number of centromeres. And this is actually consistent with the findings that BRCA1 tumors tend to have more large genetic changes. So basically the increased number of proliferation and this centromere, you know, abnormality could increase the probability of tumor initiation.
How will your work impact the prevention of breast cancer in women with germline BRCA1 mutations?
You know, this is a very high-risk patient population, and right now the only preventative measure they can take is like have a bilateral mastectomy, which is not a choice everybody wants to take. And then based on our findings, what we're suggesting that inhibitors of the PI3 kinase P10 AKT pathway may be an effective preventative strategy in this patient population. And actually rapamycin, which is an inhibitor of mTOR, have been actually successfully used in neurofibromatosis patients for prevention of cancer. So we currently will be testing this with Judy Garber, my clinician colleague here at Dana-Farber, to see if this could be the case in BRCA1 patients.
Are there implications of your findings for the treatment of BRCA1-associated breast cancers?
Therapeutic strategies that target BRCA1-deficient cells, assuming that they have complete loss of wild-type BRCA1, are not likely to work, or at least likely to lead to recurrence of the tumor, such as PARP inhibitors, because this not 100% of the tumors seem to be completely deficient of BRCA1, and the cells that haven't lost BRCA1 completely will recur, and they don't care about the treatment. So we need additional ways of targeting these tumors.
Thank you very much for being with us today, Dr. Polyak. I appreciate the opportunity to discuss your important contribution to our understanding of BRCA1-associated breast cancers. Be sure to read this and other exciting papers in the June issue at cancerdiscovery.aacrjournals.org.